Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Rhubarb Brown. That's JT Hand Me a Beer Holton. How are you doing, fellas?
Super excited. Let's go. Let's go. Just super excited.
Ready to do this.
Let's go.
I like the name.
Sorry,
JT Hand Me a Beer Holton.
Sorry, I missed last Friday.
Oh yeah, like my rap name, six pack for sure.
I like it. Instead of two pack, maybe it's six pack for sure. I like it. For those who are not rap aficionados, I had to explain the joke. I'm sorry, JT. I know it takes a little long.
He's not a well known rapper. Yeah. So yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
JT was making a Tupac Shakur reference there, Josh.
Oh yeah.
With a six pack for sure.
Oh.
Instead of Tupac shook her. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Got it.
How's your week been, fellas?
Pretty good.
I like how you both just sigh deeply when I ask that question, as if you're having to really contemplate.
Parented solo all weekend with a toddler. So I don't
know. Welcome to my life.
I don't really know what happened, but it was crazy.
Work is crazy. Yeah, I'm trying to buy and sell a home at the same time.
That's crazy.
The Lightning are down a game to the Bruins in the second round of the playoffs. And, yeah, that's about it. And there's still no college football. It's taking forever for that.
Yeah. And let's be honest. This year's college football may be the best college football of all time. I mean, I'm serious. You don't have to worry about the big – there's no Big Ten. There's no crappy conferences.
There's no Ohio State fans – at all. Like, they're gone.
Right. As of right now, at least.
And you don't have to worry about – you can focus on winning the SEC and not worry about – I don't even know if there's going to be a national championship.
And there's no cupcakes.
Yeah, I have no idea.
There's zero cupcake games except for, like, Vandy. You know, I mean, like, you know, I'm saying, there's no
Arkansas.
There's no university of nowhere that your team has to play.
Well, we're still playing Auburn.
Georgia Tech is still playing Florida.
Isn't that what they decided?
Tennessee's playing.
No, but –
I'm still. That's still not App State.
That's
not true.
That's
Clemson's
App State.
Look at Clemson's schedule. They got like eight
those
cupcakes.
Losers in Knoxville.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Mm. So I'm excited though. I'm looking forward to college football. I do think it's going to be kind of a wild season though, because you got Georgia's got to play Alabama. They play Auburn week two. Is that right, JT? I think it's week two.
Yeah, week two.
Auburn, Alabama, and Georgia also gets LSU, right? Like all three of them. I'm pretty sure.
No LSU.
Oh, okay.
We got no LSU.
Okay.
We picked up Mississippi State and going to Arkansas, and then second week hosting Auburn, which is crazy because in the last 10 years we've had to play like six games at Auburn, and then one of the games they get here is with no crowd. So we better get to host the game again next year. They need to get the schedules back right, and then Alabama. The last two times Georgia has played Alabama, so that's two games. That's 120 minutes of regulation football. The University of Georgia has led for 119.
Yep, and they've lost both games.
Yeah, so
The good news is there's no one named Tagovailoa on the Alabama squad this year, and I know that's not a guarantee.
Oh, wait,
but you
I
know.
Thought, but I thought he wasn't any good. I thought he wasn't good though, Ken.
When did we say he wasn't good?
You said he was trash. Roll the tape.
I don't think I said he was trash.
Roll the tape. Where's our intern? Why do we have a damn intern?
We
need an intern. We had Caleb. I don't know what Caleb did, but we need an intern. We need an intern. They can
what
roll
would
the tape.
What intern actually do, Josh?
He'd
there
roll
would
the
be
tape.
No tape because I didn't
He'd
say
roll
it.
The tape right now. He'd roll the tape.
I said that I didn't think Tagovailoa was the best quarterback in the nation.
You spent 2 years crapping on Tagovailoa while I, who am woke, or who is woke,
So is this you going back to Alabama fandom right now? Is that what this is? No. Are you changing ships yet again?
I am a sports podcaster, okay? I don't... Oh. I am neutral. I'm here to share...
Yes. Yes, okay.
...information and recaps, and I'm just telling you that Tua is maybe the greatest of all time, and you said he was trash.
And you're as neutral as CNN, Josh. What are you talking about? Like, you are as fair and balanced as Fox News. That's, I mean, that's that. Like,
so I'm, so I'm unbiased.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Right.
You probably.
Oh man, I love coffee. I love coffee.
Are you drinking coffee?
Coffee's a good thing.
See, if I didn't have early morning meetings on Tuesdays, I would be drinking coffee.
But. Man, this is a free plug. They don't even sponsor the show, but if you like great good coffee, I highly recommend King's Coast Coffee. It's good stuff.
Oh, I thought you were saying we're just gonna get sponsored by
what's King's Coast? Too, yeah. Is it local
in general,
fair trade?
Some of it is, not all of it, but
is it ethically sourced?
But you can get whole bean or ground, and yeah, I mean. They even have.
I prefer my coffee ethnically sourced. I like Folgers.
Does that mean like some ethnically sourced? That I feel like that just means that some Mexican dude picked it. Is kind of what that means.
I don't even know what that means.
I'm pretty sure he's Colombian, Ken. That's awfully offensive for you to call
Mexican. Just because they're brown doesn't mean they're all Mexican, you asshole.
Juan Valdez, look, guys. Juan Valdez and his little donkey. Look, we all know that wasn't coffee on that donkey's back. That was 100% pure Colombian cocaine. There is no doubt that that was
coffee.
Whatever
happened to Juan Valdez, man?
Either way, it'll get you through the show. That's fine.
Yeah, you'll need it.
Yeah, it's just the crash afterwards that changes, right? Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, well, speaking of Latinos that have caused, lots of coke issues in the last 48 hours.
Where are
what about
you going
Yadier? What about Yadier Molina causing the entire internet to lose their collective minds? Like,
yeah.
Well, okay, it wasn't coke; it was drugs. It was
John D.
medicinal. But.
John D. Howard sent us the tweet of the picture, right?
Possibly so. Yeah, so. Yeah, I believe it was.
And so,
spiritual advisor that he is. Yes.
Yeah. So, in case you're not on the up and up, I think most people know what's going on, but I feel like there's 2% of our listeners that listen to us for news. At least that's what I like to think. And so for those 2%, Yadier Molina, catcher for the Cardinals, highly underrated, shared a photo. Future Hall of Famer. Better than Brian McCann.
Unfortunately, you're right on that.
He
part,
posted but, a photo on his Instagram of like he's wearing shorts and you know what I mean, like in some like jersey, and he's hanging out with like some friends, it looks like, or maybe just some girls and some dudes, I don't know. And and the caption just said F COVID.
For those of you who don't know, Josh actually has a spider tattoo drawn on his neck
that
tonight.
Is not true.
Like while we're recording, there's this giant spider tattoo right there on
his
neck.
But I would.
I guess he drew it with an ink pen or something.
That's how much I love Yadier Molina. I would do that. Yeah.
No. I like Yadier Molina. He is a future Hall of Famer. He was great in Breaking Bad. I thought he took unnecessary heat for
are terrible.
What was the problem?
People
was
are
the problem
worst.
that he used a bad word? Or was the problem that in his picture he wasn't?
No, he wasn't socially distanced. Yeah,
right.
That's what it was.
People are so. We probably talk about it too much, but whatever. Like people are so, I think, brainwashed from this that picture wasn't just a picture of him saying that word. That picture to them was implying that he doesn't care about people dying. That he's a terrible person. And for a whole damn day, Twitter, man, not just, at Braves fan 48, with 11 followers, like writers, thought leaders, like everybody was just calling him the worst person ever. And I'm like, you people are absolutely the worst people. And we've been through some shit. We've had some terrible people before.
At that moment, I thought finally, writers realize Yadier Molina is a terrible person.
That's funny.
It had nothing to do with COVID. I was just glad they finally recognized he's terrible.
That's funny.
And, yeah. I mean,
I don't know. People are so bad.
Yeah, I figure that. I figure that out because I figure that Yadier Molina is probably a Cardinals fan, thus making him one of the worst people to walk the face of the earth. They're
that's all true. That's true.
You know, considering that he wants them to win baseball games, that makes him one of the worst people. Here's the thing, though. It's this attitude of this piousness and this fake moral superiority. Yeah. You're just what you're saying is. You, Yachty, are not being compassionate enough. You're not being compassionate like me, like you should. Dang it, I am compassionate.
If Yachty had just throat-slashed COVID, everything would have been all right, guys. I mean, they wouldn't have been upset then.
And it's not even like this, you know, when something like that happens, and by something happening, I mean a baseball player sharing a photo on Instagram. When something like that happens, it there's no buildup. That's what's interesting to me. There's no buildup. There's no long storyline. There's no articles. It's like knee-jerk reaction, immediate. Not just like your 11 follower dude, you know? Instant reaction.
No, the 11 follower dudes don't do anything. 11 follower dudes are usually pretty normal human beings for the most part.
I think I found one
that the weird psychos that want to, like, you know.
Yeah. It's like people that think they have like a little bit of a platform. Maybe they have a podcast and I don't know, they got a little bit of a following. And then people, writers and media are just shaming Yadier Molina for this. Are you kidding?
Well, it's blatant virtue signaling and it goes on all sides of our society at this point. I can't stand it. Like, it's not just a right-wing, left-wing thing. Now, I think it's very obvious for us when we see it more from, like, a left-wing perspective sometimes. But right-wing guys do it, too. It's like when they're, like, back the blue and they never thought for a second about how to actually help cops or anything like that. You know, it's just a virtue signaling thing. Today, Joe Biden comes out with this whole speech about this guy that got shot. And I don't even think he died, but like got shot by cops somewhere and there's a video of it or something. And there'll be more rioting now because Biden comes out and makes it into a racist thing before there's any evidence one way or the other of how it happened, what happened. And he's like, the cops must be held accountable and all this stuff. And I'm like, you're blatantly virtue signaling. Just shut up until there's some facts. Once there's facts, like, so it's fine, but
you don't even know if the guy had a gun or not. We don't even know.
You know, opened up Twitter and everybody was tweeting like it was, you know, May again. And so based on Twitter, I was like, oh, a black guy got shot, I guess, by the cops.
Apparently, like, 7 cops were on him. I didn't watch the thing. This is just my summary that I read.
Yeah.
Like, there was a bunch of cops holding him at gunpoint and telling him to get on the ground.
Yeah.
He disobeyed the cops, reached back into his car, and when they did, they shot him. And, I mean, if I did that, they would shoot me, too. Like, that's not 100%. A black or white thing. Now, we could talk about that being that disobeying cops probably shouldn't result in you getting shot, necessarily. That's a different conversation, but that's not, like, a racist conversation. That's a conversation about SOPs. And, like, a cop is trained. If you reach back into your car while 7 cops have guns trained on you, first of all, you're an idiot. And secondly,
the implication is you're guilty or not, and they're going to shoot you.
Exactly. You should have enough sense.
What are you reaching? Are you reaching for? Are you reaching for your phone so you can take a pic so you can tweet out, hey, I got 7 cops with guns pointed at me right now? What else would you be reaching for?
Kids in the car. I don't know if his wife was. I didn't read all the details. And like, I'm not here to say the cops were right. I'm just saying, like, reaching back in your car while cops are drone on you is a stupid idea. White, black, Latino, I don't care who you are, that's dumb. Like, there's lots of white dudes get shot for that reason. It's not a black-white thing, you know what I mean? Like,
anybody, man, woman, child. I mean, I actually had a conversation with members of my family, not my immediate family, but my extended family, that that they, because they were white, would probably be able to go after a cop's weapon and would not get shot and killed for it because they're white and they could probably get away with it. But because a black person does it, I'm like, you want to go test that out? Because I would like to see this happen because you are going to get shot. If you go for a cop's weapon, they're going to shoot you. If you reach for a weapon, they're going to shoot you. If you make it look like you're reaching for a weapon, you're going to get shot.
We should have a conversation about there should be alternative ways for cops to stop you that do not include shooting you. I do believe that. I do believe there should, like, we are an advanced enough society, there should be alternate solutions from bang, bang, pow, pow, bullet explodes inside of you to stop someone. That being said, I don't know what that answer is. It's obviously not a taser, because tasers aren't magical and they don't work on everyone. But there's got to be some way to incapacitate people in a safer manner. But we can have that conversation, but it doesn't inherently apply that any of this has anything to do with racism whatsoever. It's just actual police force protocol and SOPs, you know? And, I just thought it was really tone deaf by Biden, which it's not. It's blatant pandering is what it is. It's a political statement to virtue signal to get votes and sympathy slash, whatever points you want to call it. And I would condemn the right for doing the exact same thing, because you've seen it happen the exact same way, where a cop gets shot and then they plaster it on every political stance and everybody talks about it for 6 weeks straight and really doesn't care one bit about the cop. It's all political pandering once again on the right. So this isn't like I'm not trying to take a political stance on this. I'm simply saying that's not racism. And yet now people will use this as an excuse to riot and burn a bunch of cities.
Yeah, and if you say it's not racism, right. people on Twitter will call you a terrible person and try to dump
on
you.
I got tagged this week, and people were in a whole thread saying that I was a terrible person because I said Black Lives Matter was political. And I'm like, obviously, since they list themselves as a political group, yeah, I would say that's mildly political.
they themselves claim that they're a Marxist
organization. Right, and the fact that
therefore it is political.
People marching want to change the systemic racism, that's their word, that would imply the political system is racist. Therefore, it is inherently political to talk about it. It doesn't make it inherently bad to have a conversation, but it is inherently political to talk about. I'm sorry.
And this all comes full circle when you think about, I can't say things like back the blue or I support my local police officers, and Yadi Molina can't post a picture giving his true thoughts on what he thinks about coronavirus because Yadi's not socially distancing. He's a Neanderthal. He doesn't get it. He's not socially elite.
And none of them are. They're baseball players.
Caveman. You don't see the world the way I do.
But that's what they say about all of us.
Exactly right.
Your opinion dictate something about you. This is the weird place we are in the world. Like 30 years ago, if you voted Democrat, that told me nothing about who you were. If you voted Republican, it told me very little about who you were. You know, like, seriously, I've known people that I share a lot of values with that voted for Bill Clinton, and like my uncle, he was like a total blue dog Democrat, right? Like, that was the way he was. Like, and he went to church. He had a lot of the same fundamental beliefs that I had. He just grew up voting Democrat, so that's what he did. He voted Democrat. Like, that was just what he did. And I didn't inherently think anything negative about him because he voted Democrat, right? Like, I mean, we could have silly political conversations, but, like, it was silly. Like, nobody got mad. Nobody thought it was personal. Nobody ended up calling the other one Hitler. You know, like, none of that happened. Now, if you call yourself a Republican on Twitter and you like, if you like a Ben Shapiro tweet, like, people will block you and call you Hitler because you liked a Ben Shapiro tweet. You know, like,
who is a Jew?
Right.
Guy who wears a yarmulke.
Right. One of those, like Jeff Schultz, one of those Jewish white supremacists out there. You know, what's funny is 22 years ago, you'd turn on the news and you'd be like, oh man, the president got a blowjob. Yeah. That's crazy. Oh, wow. These are wild times. You know what I mean? And that was your political discourse. There would be people that would be like, hey, it's the president. You know, there'd be things about the president lying under oath. Did he perjure himself? Okay, that's a topic you can bring up. And then they'd say, well, the president doesn't have the correct ethics to be in the White House, so we need to impeach him for that. And I'm like, well, you know, ethics don't have can you do the job or not? I don't really care.
You can talk about it.
You know, happens between him and his wife. You could
talk
about
it, and you could talk about the person without it reflecting on you as the person, quote, supporting them. Like, supporting Bill Clinton, I can recognize people that support Bill Clinton, not all of them want their president to get a blowjob in the White House. Like, that's not the implication, is that they like his politics. Like, they like the things he does politically. That's why they support him. You know, and I can think his character is right. terrible and, without and thinking it, the person that support him has the exact mm-hmm. same character.
Yeah, and or you could come down. I remember being a teenager and being like, I don't really care about his character. Is he effective in the office or not? Because what happens extramaritally between him and Hillary is not my business. I don't care. He's not the first president to do things like that. He's
and
not
I could be on the other side of
like
that, and I could have the opinion his character matters, that dictates how he thinks, it dictates a lot of things, but it still was not a reflection on your thoughts of him or mine in any sort of deep, significant way.
It
you know?
Wasn't it wasn't that serious. Like, it wasn't
but
that
see,
big
now,
of a deal. Like,
we get our identity from who we connect with that way. Like, it used to be, and we've always been externally oriented identity people. It just used to be back then you got your identity from being a Georgia fan or a Braves fan, or you know, you got your identity from from the being a member of the Lions Club, you know, like, I mean, that kind of weird stuff, you know, that was where you got your identity. Now it's like we're all in this big bundle, and if you say you're a Republican, then that automatically makes you one kind of person, and if you say you're a Democrat, it automatically makes you this other kind of person, and all these assumptions. And there's a measure of it that's actually become a self-fulfilling prophecy now, where because you think you're a left or you're right, you now think, well, yeah, like, I believe like a leftist now, like, that's who I am, you know, or I believe like a Republican, that's who I am. And I'm like, nah, it's really not. That's just
it affects the movies you watch, the music you listen to, the way you dress and everything. And I feel like I'm at the eighth grade dance again, where I've got boys on one side of the cafeteria and the girls are on the one side of the cafeteria, and we're standing there for an hour and a half just waiting for someone to have the balls to start dancing so that we can all just have a good time and enjoy ourselves. Yeah. You know, and that's exactly what it feels like. But people are afraid to actually go out on the dance floor.
It affects
and
who you hang out with, who you're friends with, and when it really shouldn't, you know what I mean? And in my experience, it's generally one side being that way. But I think some of it too is the media, because like back in the 90s when we were coming up, when we were in middle school and high school, you had CNN, right? You didn't have social media. You had CNN. Okay. Mm-hmm. This was TV in the 90s. Friends, Seinfeld, you know, a few others.
Say by the Bell.
Saturday Night Live was a huge cultural thing. Yeah. And then you had Fresh CNN. Prince. And CNN, for those listening who might be 20 to 23 years old, CNN literally reported the news. It was crazy. And sometimes there was like a court case, like an OJ Simpson or whatever. And then sometimes maybe it was some sensational stuff, but for the most part, it was news, right?
And now, Josh, let me wind that back. I didn't have CNN.
There you go.
I had ABC or CBS.
There you go. So,
there was a single pundit named
Right.
Larry
there
King,
was a single pundit.
And he was just an old man with suspenders that just interviewed somebody. And that was it. And it could be, and he would have like big time guests on. It wasn't like, hey, let's go to this blogger. It would be like, hey, we've got Steven Spielberg in studio tonight, talk about his new movie. Right. That was it. Like that was all your political punditry that you got.
Fast forward early mid 2000s, I started seeing a little bit of a shift, but it wasn't like it is now, right? So mid 2000s, you had Fox, you had CNN, and Fox was pro Bush, CNN was anti Bush. But it wasn't really that sensational. CNN would actually have Crossfire, which was a show with like two different viewpoints, and it wasn't crazy yet. And now,
you know, even back then, Fox had like Hannity and Combs, and it kind of worked.
That's
you know, like
that's
a
what
little I, bit of that worked.
Exactly. So now,
rest in peace, Alan Combs.
Now, and I don't know if it was, you know, I mean, I sound like a broken record, but maybe it was Trump. It really people joke about this, but it really is like Trump broke people's brains or something. But now you have the media on both sides, especially the left, it seems, if you look at it, the right and left, the right now basically is Fox News. And then you have a little bit of like Newsmax, OAN, you know, a little bit of like Shapiro, Daily Rabbit, but mainly Fox News, right? The left has CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, Huffington Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. You know what I mean?
Vice,
So what I see is the media like never before, like nothing we had growing up, you know, nothing back in our day, like you did not have this. Now you have the media controlling people. Really, I sound like an old pawpaw right now, but like controlling people's thoughts and moods and like their opinions. And there's people that just, they think that they're people that are just convinced that if they have a friend or they know somebody that likes Trump, they are a racist. They're a white supremacist because the media tells them these things
right.
all day. I mean, it's just, and it's like, and these are not, what's weird yeah. to me is like, it's not just like young people. It is the stronghold they have on people that I know in like their 40s. If you're on the left side of things, I mean, it's crazy, man. It's weird. And I've never seen it before this bad. And I don't know if it's going to get any better, but it's freaky.
Yeah. The conservatives seem to have a stronghold on the talk radio aspect.
That's true.
Where you don't hear a lot of left-leaning talk radio shows. Whereas on television, it's the exact opposite. Where you see many left-leaning news channels and pretty much the one Fox News on the right. Which tells me that conservatives need something to listen to on their way to work. Whereas liberals are just going to be sitting around watching TV.
Or protesting. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. You know, and like to break this out of politics a little bit, like I want to talk a little bit about tribalism because like you were talking about Tupac Shakur, you know, you made a joke about him at the start of the show, JT. But like when Tupac came around in that early 90s, late 80s, you know, guys started busting slack, you know, or drop it. Y'all used a different term where you drop.
That's another Kennyism.
It's not a Kennyism. Like
no one, but. No one but Kenny has ever said.
Like nobody
it's
says
really
that.
Not true.
Ken, nobody says it's, that. Ken, no, you're over 30 with us.
Type it in online.
Ken, they say that in Livonia. They don't say that anywhere else.
Yeah. Okay.
What that means is sagging your pants.
Okay.
For those listening at home, sagging your pants.
All right.
Or busting slack. I'll give. Okay. Bustin' yeah, slack.
Let us know on Twitter if you've heard busting slack or not. I'm interested. You know, but.
People that old don't have Twitter,
okay.
Ken.
Okay. Look, so here's the thing, though. Where that started was rappers come out, and they stopped wearing belts when they would do their rap performances to identify with their brothers that were in jail that weren't allowed to have belts because of Suicide Watch, basically. They don't let you have a belt in jail for that reason. So their pants would sag. And they'd have to hold them up. Well, rappers, to identify with their brothers that were in jail, started doing the same thing when they rap. And then 10 or 12-year-old kids that grew up in suburban America that had super nice cars and never had a problem in their life said, I identify with that, so I'm going to start wearing my pants sagging down. And before long, they've tribalized this identity thing that's not even their story. But they've made it their story. Like, they had nothing to do with that. There was no connection there, but they've made up their story. And look, it happens on the other side, too. How many times have you seen rednecks suddenly start wearing Wranglers, throw on a pair of boots and a big cowboy hat, and identify with some, like, this country tribal piece that's nothing to do with their life? Like, they're not country.
They're from Marietta.
They've never even set foot on a farm. They're not even sure how to identify the difference in a bull and a cow. They think all bulls have horns and all cows don't. That's the way they think of cows. But they're identifying with this. And in the past, what we've always done is we've, like, looked to, like, the troubadours or, you know, like, and this has been the case for thousands of years. Like, the minstrel, the troubadour, the storytellers are the ones that give us cultural identity a lot of times. It's why stories like the Iliad and the Odyssey are super important because they gave identity to Greeks way back in the day. Like, those were the stories, the memes, the cultural pieces that gave tribal identity to those people and made them Greeks or Spartans or Romans, and those stories made them. The problem is, like, if you only get your identity from that and you have no identity of your own, then you're lost. Like, you're totally consumed with keeping up with the latest fad of the right or the left. And it's not just political. It's anything out there because you're trying to find your identity externally rather than internally.
And you're trying, and you get your identity now in these like pillars that are not nuanced. So if you're a young person and you identify kind of as a leftist or whatever, like you ain't getting out of that pillar. There's no nuance.
Yeah.
The other side is bad. You can't even talk to the other side. And also another thing too is like, to get back on my pawpaw soapbox, but like back in our day, we had people that you looked up to that influenced culture who were like cool. Okay. Like rock stars, rappers, athletes. Okay. Now politicians are rock stars.
Yeah. In its weird way. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Rachel Maddow is a rock star. Anderson Cooper is a rock star. These, you know, Chris
and
Cuomo
those are news
is a
people.
Right. You know what I mean? Is that not weird when you think about that? Like Chris Cuomo is a rock star, right? Don Lemon is a mega rock star, right?
But but there's like it's Don not Lemon. Like that we didn't have those things, Josh.
But we
kind of
did
right now.
We kind of
like,
didn't,
though. Yeah, Tom Brokaw was kind of a rock star. Larry King was kind of a rock star.
Okay, that's
Rush Limbaugh's been a rock
and
star.
It was different what we looked to them for. Like,
yeah.
You didn't try to emulate Tom Brokaw's politics.
We didn't even
just
know his politics.
He was a rock star,
but
right?
We didn't know his
exactly.
politics. But now,
yeah.
on both sides, not just left, but I'm sorry, but mainly left, also right. You kind of know. Mm. You kind of know their. You know their politics. You knew Megyn Kelly's politics.
It was a big scandal when Walter Cronkite passed away. There were stories out about, they came out that he had been donating to a bunch of Democrat candidates and causes and everything. So, this whole time he was
because
a Democrat.
The news was supposed to be unbiased. Like, they were supposed to be basically set aside their own political beliefs and say, we're not going to play the game. We are here to report. And, like, a lot of news people back then wouldn't even vote. Like, they would say, I refuse to vote. I'm here to report on the news. I am basically outside of the system. Like, I am setting myself outside of the system because I don't want to be biased.
Let's be honest, though. That's a lot less fun, though, right? I mean, I know we're decrying this whole system. It's not near as lucrative, and it's way more fun to have a team. It's way more fun. It's hard work having free thought. It's really hard to take every issue at face value and weigh the pros, the cons, the pluses, the minuses of everything, and come up with how you think. It's much easier and much more fun to be like, I'm this guy, so here's what I think about
That's a good point.
All these things. Here's the things I'm for, and here's the thing I'm against. Why? Because I identify with
this. Well,
let's
talk about it this way.
And so that's much easier for me to do.
We're a sports podcast, right? You guys have demonstrated tribalism tonight. I mean, JT, you said all Cardinals fans are terrible people, right? Like, that. And so immediately, you've shut down getting any value from a Cardinals fan ever, right? Yeah, like, and I know
your heart,
JT. Like I say this because it's easy for us to see this way. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like I'm never going to listen to an Alabama fan explain to me why Alabama's the best football team in the history of SEC football. You know, I'm not going to listen to Clemson. I'm not going to listen to Cousin Kent and ever give him the time of day to try to convert me into a Clemson fan. Like, it's not happening. I don't care. You know, I like Cousin Kent, but I'm not going to listen to him talk to me about Clemson over and over and over and over. Because tribally, that's not where I identify. I identify with UGA, and I want to talk to people that are like me. And if you disagree with me, screw you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and
Clemson football is a cult. That's another thing, too.
But Georgia football is not a cult.
But you're absolutely
Georgia
right.
Football
because
is not even remotely a cult. There's nobody that goes and worships every day at Georgia football sites and keeps up with every last player that Georgia signs. And definitely doesn't watch Kirby Smart's Twitter feed for Go Dogs, meaning that he signed another recruit.
Yeah, I say that as I did a quick bow towards my autographed Larry Munson picture.
Yeah, definitely not. Not a giant Sony Michel picture on your wall that you basically worship at once a day. As your hero,
my three jerseys I got hanging behind me. But you're right, because I've had this happen before. I'm at a tailgate with some friends, some family, some people I didn't know that were associates, you know, with my friends and family. And I had the audacity to say, well, I kind of like Auburn.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's exactly what I said. Now, I said that because I have about 8 cousins that are all graduates of Auburn. I've been to Auburn LSU game where Georgia wasn't even playing. And I've been to several Georgia-Auburn games at Auburn. I kind of even know my way around downtown Auburn a little bit because I've been there so much. And every time I've started going when I was 10 years old. I've had some pretty good experiences at Auburn. They're nice folks. Nice. My cousins are nice. And I kind of have a soft spot for Auburn. Like, I don't absolutely hate Auburn the way I see the Florida Gators, and I kind of like the color reaction in my stomach. Burnt orange when I see them on the field.
Like really, yeah. really attractive,
like,
actually.
Like,
don't record that part.
Yeah, like one of my best friends is an Auburn grad.
Nope.
Yeah. So, like, if the University of Georgia didn't exist, I'm like, I probably would be an Auburn fan. And people are like, oh, you can't like Auburn. You can't say that. And I'm like, why? And I'm like, sorry. I mean, they're just not on my, like, you know, they're not on my hate list. Like, of course, I want to beat them because I want to win games. But, like, I don't have the same, you know, I don't recoil in disgust at the sight of the War Eagle. And people looked at me like I had two heads.
Then when,
and it's
but
the
then
same
when
mentality.
Walks around with a Georgia Tech hat on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Right.
Can't do it. But it's that same mentality. If I said, you know, hey, you know, I'd vote for Donald Trump, but, you know, I'm kind of against the death penalty. Yeah. People look at you like, what? You can't do that. You can't say that. You're supposed to be on this side of things. It's like you can't think individually for yourself anymore. You can't say, you know, like, hey, I'm kind of against it. I don't agree with Donald Trump doing
and
this.
And also, it doesn't
you know, it's
sell.
Like you're all
it
in or nothing.
Sell. You don't get more tribal power by being nuanced. Like, look, I'll be 100% honest. Right. Like, Nakoma Nation, we're as tribal as could be. Like, literally, we try to create a tribe. Like, that's the whole purpose to some extent. I mean, Josh Brown's brand is basically look at what all the bloggers are saying and take the opposite side because they all take one position. That means there's a group of people that take the opposite position, right? Like, and it's not necessarily always thought out that way, but that's still the gist of Josh's tribe is we're going to try to back Brian Snicker most of the time. We're going to think through things and not just jump to conclusions. Like, and we can argue about whether or not our tribe is, and this is the thing, this is where it gets really weird. Tribes aren't inherently a bad thing. Like, tribes have helped people, like, if we look at development of societies and this kind of thing, tribalism is not necessarily inherently bad. Tribalism as the only thing in the world is where it gets inherently bad, because when there's multiple tribes and you cannot allow other tribes to exist, that's when you end up with bloody violent wars where one tribe wipes out the other. I mean, check out the Aztecs and any civilization around them. You know, I mean, that's basically what you came down to. So when you talk about baseball, there's like there's a healthy amount of that that's good for people to be able to have this thing that they connect with and allows them to connect with other people. But it should not define your inner qualities simply because of your outward connection. Like the outward connection should be a way that we can connect. Like, the three of us would not have this podcast if it weren't for, like, Braves baseball and our connection to it. But there should be a point where being Braves baseball fans also doesn't tell me exactly who Josh Brown is. It doesn't tell me who JT really is. It just tells me that we have some similar interests and we really don't like Phillies fans usually. You know, I mean, but to be honest, if I meet a Phillies fan that's a really nice guy, like, I'm not going to hold it against him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's so many, like, guys I should have things in common with because we like the same baseball team, but I don't know if I can even have a conversation with them because they seem to be on like one side of Braves fandom. You know, like, I'm an anti-Snit Braves fan. Like, well, sometimes, look, it's okay to be like, hey, I think that's a bad decision there or that's a dumb thing. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. It seems like there's this you're either all in or you're all out. Nuance is dead.
There's like this
in everything from sports to politics.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Go ahead, Ken.
Maybe in a deeper sense, to kind of be a little spiritual / philosophical about it here, if you try to connect your outward identity before you have an inward identity, you get really confused because you buy the story on the outside as being your story. And that's dangerous. If you don't know who you are on the inside, well, it's like the kid who's you know, sagging his pants, busting slack, whatever you want to call it. Like, if that's not his story, though, he can, before he knows it, he can be caught up in somebody else's story until, like, I know country kids here in Franklin County who got involved with the Crypt, literal Crypt gang, because they got into music, and before long, it led to something else, it led to something else, it led to something else, and them identifying that way, until suddenly they were literally involved in gangs and getting shot, not because that's who they were. They didn't start out as that person or that being their story, but they bought somebody else's story to the point that it started doing that. I don't know if that makes sense or not. So,
it do.
But yeah. I think anytime we get too much of our story from the outside and not from what's on the inside, and really know who we are. And I say inside, that sounds like, I guess that's kind of a weird religious sort of term almost. But like, if we don't know what our story is, man, it's rough to not know what your story is.
I think there's a lot of folks that don't allow themselves to learn their own beliefs or who they are because they're so plugged into social media, their devices. I'm guilty of this, but especially young.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody our age says this about the younger generation side. That's like a total pawpaw, but like I'm glad that I came up kind of without the internet and in the beginning of the internet, but really without social media for the most part. You know, we didn't really have social media really until 2008.
About 2002.
You know?
Yeah, 2005. Yeah, somewhere in that range.
Okay. Well, you know, before that, there was just less noise. There was less opportunity for you to just get lost and everything, right? And so now I feel bad for like the 20-year-old, for like the 19-year-old. You know, if you're 20 years old for the past like decade, you've been plugged in, you've been on social media, you've probably been addicted because we're all addicted, and you don't have room to think for yourself because you're just listening to other people like all the time. And I think it really takes, I don't know what the answer is, but like, you know, if that's you listening, I mean, I don't know, I just feel like so many young people need to just, I don't know what they should do. Log off for like a week, a month, a year. I don't know. Find some real relationships.
Yeah, that's the key. Yeah. Because I think we're all designed to kind of be mirrors, especially the first about 30 years of our life. We're supposed to kind of reflect the people around us to learn our own story. And that can be good and it can be bad. Like, we're supposed to kind of reflect our parents' lives and the influential people in our lives and be like, you know, that story kind of is my story, and I can figure out which pieces of that fit and which pieces don't. You see people go to college all the time and suddenly like they're exposed to a new way of thinking, and in like 6 months they leave everything they ever were behind, and they're like this entirely new, like, crazy liberalized person because it's the first time they've heard liberal thought. And like, they're this mirror that's just reflecting what all their professors are saying, and now they're like wanting to go home at Thanksgiving and combat their parents on all these fundamental truths that they've always had. I'm like, no, you're just still being the mirror that you were when you were at home too. You still don't know who you are. And then you see people turn like 30 and start to move between 30 and 35. And now they're starting to live enough life that they have a little bit of experience to kind of see, you know, I don't really think I'm that person. No, I really can't agree with all that. The problem is now people just continue to soak up in the mirror. I mean, Twitter is just a mirror. We're just looking at that mirror constantly. And we like never live our life, like you said, Josh. Like, there's never any real experience to determine who we actually are. I mean, if you live in your house or on your phone, and you're not doing anything to have a story. You don't have a story.
You don't. And then, you know, I know a lot of folks on Twitter who I've created like a Twitter relationship with, who I see them, and I don't think they have any real life. I think their friends are only on Twitter for the most part. And I think that's very common. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. And
it's a bad thing. I will. It's a bad thing.
Okay. It's
you
a bad thing.
You should have all your friends that way.
but there's a lot of people like that. And they think that, I'm not saying these people aren't really their friends, but maybe they're not. 'Cause to me, like, unless you go to war with someone or you're in a war with someone, not go to battle with someone, but like, you know, I've been through some shit with Ken Hendricks. I've, you know, known you for 4 years now, you know what I mean? And then like I've got, you know, other friends who I've gone through stuff with and shared stuff with, and like, you know, and you can't get that from Twitter. You can't, you know what I mean? And it makes you a better person. And so I think when you are just friends with people on Twitter, I think you have this really false sense of friendship and you're not growing. Maybe you think you're growing, but I don't think you're growing. And because it's just Twitter, if you say something bad or like you hurt their feelings, there's no like sense of responsibility or there's no investment. You can just deactivate and be gone. And there's no loss, really.
Well, I mean, I know people have made fun of me because I've said things like Twitter's not real, and then I get people mimicking that, making fun of me. Look, Twitter is not a terrible place all the time. It may feel that way, but I've met good friends through Twitter. I met you, Josh. I met JT. I met other people like that. There's a few people that I've met that are really good friends. I met John Howard, but Twitter is not the primary operating system where I connect with you guys. Like, it's a place we met. It's like going to a bar. I don't live my life in a bar with you. Like, if you meet someone at a bar, you don't live your life in the bar with that person. Like, eventually you leave the bar and go out into the rest of the real world. People that can't leave the bar end up alcoholics, and their life falls apart. Sorry, JT. No, I saw the look on your face. but
I eventually left the bar.
But in all seriousness, though, people that don't lose, like, they lose that part of it. It's an addiction to a thing, and it literally wrecks their life to the point that they don't know how to function outside of this operating system that was never meant to be an operating system. I mean, you've made Twitter your operating system for interacting with the world. That's a dangerous place to be.
Right.
It's fine to step into it as a bar. Go visit Twitter from time to time. Meet a few people, but don't live your life there because that's broken and that's messed up and that's not a way to have extended real relationship, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, look, good part of the reason I'm no longer married to my first wife was because I didn't leave the bar in a very literal sense. But you're right. You have to live life. You have to get life experience. And it's important to have people that you go through life experiences with because you change the way you view the world. 10 years from now, I'm going to look at the world differently than I do today. And that's part of... You always subscribe to a team because you're going to like people that like the world the way you like it. You know, if I see a guy wearing a Georgia hat, I'm already going to like him a little bit more than I would the same guy with wearing a Florida hat. You know, that's just the way things go. But, you know, 17 years ago, I was in a campus bookstore and on a whim decided to buy a Michael Moore book. And for like the next 6 months was buying nothing but like, because I want to be different.
Yeah.
You know, I want to step out on my own a little bit. I had no real life experience. I'm
you had to
freshman.
Man, JT has such a similar path. It makes me laugh so hard. It's the weirdest thing.
All you've ever heard is what this little bubble of your family and parents and life have always told you from Macon, Georgia, or wherever, you know.
Yeah.
And now you're outside there. And you're like, well, maybe some of my story matches somebody else's out here, and I'm not. Just this little guy, you know?
Let me see what they're talking about. So I bought a book called Dude, Where's My Country? on a whim because it was in the campus bookstore for like $16. And so I bought that and read it and was like, okay, interesting points. And then I bought a couple more on like Amazon and stuff, like some used Michael Moore books and like a biography of Howard Dean. And, you know, by the time I went to Christmas break, I went to visit my cousins out in Nebraska, and my uncle was like, saw my book, and he was like, yeah, you're full of shit. And so he appreciated the fact, at least I was trying to step out and learn some things for myself and do a little, and instead of just being like, well, I vote this way because that's how my mama and daddy vote, at least I was trying to learn about the world in, you know,
there's a quote that I think is super important, and I heard this from a spiritual leader that I once served under, and he made this statement. He said he was praying one day, and the Lord told him, he said, you've accepted church the way it was handed to you, and you've never, and the implication of that, and I think most of us live life this way, most of us accept life and the rules of life and the story of life the way it was handed to us. And then There comes this place in our life where we say, something about what was handed to us doesn't line up with my story. It doesn't fit my story anymore. It doesn't, like, there's some piece of it that I'm like, I don't agree with that. Like, I don't think I believe the way my grandparents thought about this thing, right? And so at that point, the tendency is to say everything handed to me was bad because I found this one thing that's not a part of my story. And so we go through this era of our life that's
we reject it.
But what's supposed to happen is we're supposed to test it. Like, test the traditions that were handed to you. The ones that are good, keep them. The ones that aren't good, get, you know, break them. But test them. Test those traditions and find out which of those fit your story. Which of them are you and which of them aren't. But what we end up with in the world today now is like, oh man, well, there was this time that the system was racist to me, or the time that women didn't like me, so I became an incel, or there was this time when women didn't like me, so I became a Braves blogger. It, no matter what, like, you end up throwing out all the traditions that you, that came to you, right, rather than testing them and finding out which ones were actually valid. You know, because some of them, there's a reason people did things the way they did for thousands of years. You know, it doesn't mean they're always right, but it probably means there's a reason, and we should discover what that reason is that that tradition was passed to us. You know, so I heard this illustration. The guy, he said there was this lady, right, and her and her husband were getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner, and she got brand new ham, right, and she takes this brand new ham and she opens it up. And she cuts the end off the ham. Like, I'm talking like nearly a fourth of the ham she cuts off. She puts it in a separate plate, separate pan, sticks it in the oven. And her husband's like, baby, what are you doing? And she said, that's how you cook a ham. And she's like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And so she goes to her mom. She said, well, that's the way my mom did it. So she goes to her mom and she asks her mom, says, mom, like, why don't we cut the end off a ham? And she's like, I mean, that's the way my mom always did it. That's what she did. And so they go back and they finally ask the grandmother, said, Grandma, why do you cut the end off the ham? And she said, because my pan was short. And her pan was like this size, and it wouldn't hold the entire ham, so she always cut the end of the ham off and laid it to the side because it wouldn't, her pan wouldn't hold it. Well, the other two had pans plenty big that would hold the entire ham, but they just accepted how to cook ham the way it was passed to them. But that doesn't mean you stop cooking ham, just like you never cook ham again because there was a problem. You know, that's the weird thing. It, you know, we just sometimes we inherit things that need to be tested, and we have to think through on different things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. That's like, you know, those weird kids that were you? I bet you were this kid. Were your parents Georgia fans?
Oh yeah, well, my dad was.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, like when you got to college, you decided you screw Georgia. I'm going to be an Alabama fan. I'm going to be whatever fan you filled in the blank.
Well, yeah,
because you're like, I'm not going to be like them.
And my path is a little bit similar to JT's. I mean, I grew up in church, youth group, the whole nine yards. I get to college, and I totally rebelled. I went to Oregon for a summer, discovered Jack Kerouac, bought Dharma Bums, totally watched Fahrenheit 9/11 by Michael Moore. Got really into Tom Robbins books, Kurt Vonnegut, you know, and NPR, and totally identified as this Democrat person. I had like a John Kerry pin on my North Face backpack my sophomore year of college in 2004. And I didn't really know everything, but I was just trying to, kind of like JT was saying, I guess was just trying to figure things out, trying to think differently. But at the same time, you're trying to figure stuff out. But if you're honest with yourself years later, at least for me, every man has a rebellious moment. It seems like a young man. And for me, like from, you know, 19 to mid 20s was that time for me. And then I didn't really get, you know, I didn't come back, you know, out of that for a long time.
Yeah.
But you know, I wouldn't trade it for nothing, you know, cause, I learned about myself and realized what I believe and what I don't believe, you know? So,
yeah. Yeah. The funny thing about Vonnegut is how much he's come back and basically said that a lot of his writings were satire and people missed it and took it as like straight up like
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's like Slaughterhouse Five. And
what's real weird is like some, you know, people like me, like I'm still friends with some of those people from that, those times in my life, you know, and mm-hmm. they're still there. And I mean, you talk about kind of like the political goalpost, but I mean, honestly, being a Democrat in, you know, 2005 is not what being a Democrat means today. So like my buddy Jeff Klein, right, my buddy from Oregon, who I just like to give a bunch of crap to on Twitter, you know, he's a socialist. He'll tell you he's a socialist. He is a socialist. Yeah. He literally just moved to Canada because of that. And so we can't even talk politics.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's like our friend Andy Harris. Like I can talk to Andy about a bunch of stuff, but we're just not. We just don't talk politics. You know, we talk Braves, we talk D&D, we talk board games, we talk nerdy stuff, we talk comic books. We don't talk politics, you know, because it's just we are very different in the political spectrum. Yeah. But I can appreciate Andy, and Andy appreciates me. Like I feel like he actually enjoys talking to me about different things. But we just don't talk about politics, you know, because we have different foundations. And I don't think Andy thinks I'm a piece of crap because I think the way I do, and I don't think Andy's a piece of crap because he thinks the way he does.
I agree, but unfortunately, I think that's kind of rare.
It is very rare. I mean, on both sides. I'll be 100% honest. Like the right claims this thing that they're a lot better than left. They're really not. Most right-wing people are not nearly as accepting as some of your staunch conservatives. You know what I mean?
Like, well, the ones in my life seem to
be. I'm not saying there's not some, I'm just saying,
It's, I don't know. Maybe so many of the ones in my life are just Christian folks and stuff. So, I mean, and you know, I kind of get defensive about that sometimes because I'm like, they're like really accepting, like. Honestly, cook you dinner and stuff. They'll make you food. Like they'll give you drinks. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's, they really don't care. But I do know some people on the left that if you tell them you like Trump, they will not talk to you ever again.
That's
even
true.
If they live next door to you.
That's true. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Knock on a Nation. JT's mic went out at the end for those of you listening. I'm going to blame the cricket in Josh's background for sabotaging JT's mic.
Here in the high country, we don't have air conditioning. We don't need it. Mm-hmm. I live at about 3,500 feet, and so we have windows and fans. And the downside of that is summertime crickets.
Well, it's not a downside. I mean, crickets are wonderful. It's just not the best for podcasting in the background. But those of you who live in the city and aren't used to it, just enjoy some nice little chirping in the background as you listen to this show. That's going to do it for this week's show. Josh, I love you. JT, I love you. Looking forward to tomorrow's show where we're going to talk some more Braves, where there's a lot of Braves news going around. Today, we decided we were going to talk about some other stuff, but we'll pick up a little bit on Braves tomorrow. Hey. Be nice to somebody from a different tribe and maybe take a few minutes and think about your story. If you had to write your story, take a few minutes and like write down, give me two paragraphs on the story of you, whoever you are. Like you don't have to turn it in or anything. I'm just saying like be able to summarize who you are in like two paragraphs and kind of tell your story. Yeah. Have a great week. Have a great day.
Okay,
we'll
bye.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Knockahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @NTN. Special thanks to Research Assistant Braves Auctions Guy. And spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.